for the moon never beams without bringing me dreams of the beautiful Annabelle Lee. And the stars never rise, but I feel the bright eyes of the beautiful Annabelle Lee.
That was an excerpt from Foston High School student Christopher Nahn reciting the poem Annabelle Lee by Edgar Allan Poe at the Poetry Out Loud event that took place at the Foston Arts Center in February. Beginning in 2006, Poetry Out Loud is a national high school poetry recitation contest sponsored by the National Endowment for the Arts, the Poetry Foundation, and the Minnesota State Arts Board. While at the regional contest at the Foston Arts Center, I had the chance to talk with the contestants about their thoughts about poetry and to capture their performances. You are about to enjoy insights and performances provided by students from Foston, Clearbrook-Grandvik, and Trek North High Schools. You'll now hear from Ann Turnus, Leah Carlson, Rowan Ivory Johnson, Angela Burgess, and Kaya Roy. My question to Ann and Leah was, what attracts them to poetry at such a young age?
I never used to like poetry, but then my teacher, Mrs. Polkerbeck, had us do mandatory poetry out loud for the classroom. And through that, when I was looking through all the poems, I found a lot that I liked. And so kind of through her having us do that, I just grew accustomed to it, and I grew like a passion for it, kind of. So because of this, I'm more into poetry.
These poems, she said, by Robert Bringhurst. These poems, she said, are poems with no love in them. These are the poems of a man who would leave his wife and child because they made noise in his study. These are the poems of a man who would murder his mother to claim the inheritance. These are the poems of a man like Plato, she said, meaning something I did not comprehend, but which nevertheless offended me. These are the poems of a man who would rather sleep with himself than women, she said. These are the poems of a man with eyes like a draw knife, with hands like a pickpocket's hands, woven of water and logic and hunger, with no strand of love in them. These poems are as heartless as birdsong, as unmeant as elm leaves, which, if they love, love only the wide blue sky and the air and the idea of elm leaves. Self-love is an ending, she said, and not a beginning. Love means love of the thing sung, not of the song or the singing. These poems, she said, you are, he said, beautiful. That is not love, she said rightly.
The fact that it can be interpreted in so many different ways, it's really an individual experience. When you read a poem, you're not going to get the same thing out of it that somebody else does. So the duality of how a poem can be presented is really appealing.
Fire and Ice by Robert Frost. Some say the world will end in fire. Some say in ice. From what I've tasted of desire, I hold with those who favor fire. But if it had to perish twice, I think I know enough of hate to say that for destruction, ice is also great and would suffice.
What draws you to certain poems? What makes you decide which poems you would like to recite?
Generally, it'll be whatever situation I'm in, and then I'll look up themes to that emotion that I'm feeling or the situation that I feel that I'm put into. Like for a love song, I had this boyfriend that I really liked, and for the Jabberwocky, I was feeling particularly whimsical, and for Anthem for Doomed Youth, my friends were talking about going into the army and how awesome it would be, and I'm the person who is obsessed with Johnny Got His Gun and Dalton Trumbo, so I was like, no, don't do it, but yeah.
What passing bells for those who die as cattle? Only the monstrous anger of the guns. Only the shuddering rifles' rapid rattle can patter out their hasty horizons. No mockeries for them now, no prayers, nor bells, nor any voice of mourning save the choirs. The shrill, demented choirs of wailing shells and bugles calling to them from sad shires. What candles may be held to speed them all? Not in the hands of boys, but in their eyes shall shine the holy glimmers of goodbyes. The pallor of girls' brows shall be their pall, their flowers, the tenderness of patient minds, and each slow dusk a drawing down of blinds.
The poems that I like the best are the ones that, like, I can put myself into, and if they say, like, if they have I or, like, my emotions in them, and that I can explain that have a strong ending almost, it feels like I can articulate in my voice almost what the author is trying to get across, and those are the poems I really like.
The Farmer by W.D. Earhart. Each day I go into the fields to see what is growing and what remains to be done. It is always the same thing. Nothing is growing. Everything needs to be done. Plow, harrow, disc, water, pray, till my bones ache and hands rub blood raw with honest labor. All that grows is the slow, intransigent intensity of need. I have sown my seed on soil, guaranteed by poverty to fail. But I don't complain, except to passersby who ask me why I work such barren earth. They would not understand me if I stooped to lift a rock and hold it like a child, or laughed, or told them it is their poverty I labor to relieve. For them I complain. A farmer of dreams knows how to pretend. A farmer of dreams knows what it means to be patient. Each day I go into the fields.
Usually it's the content, the first thing, you know, do I understand what the poem is saying, or do I just not connect with it at all? And then I look on a almost deeper level and say, okay, I understand what it's saying. Do I have the capability to fully expose that deeper meaning to a wider audience, or do I not have the life experience or the knowledge to fully clarify that?
Advice to a Prophet by Richard Wilbur. When you come, as you soon must, to the streets of our city, mad-eyed from stating the obvious, not proclaiming our fall, but begging us, in God's name, to have self-pity, spare us all word of the weapons, their force and range, the long numbers that rocket the mind. Our slow, unreckoning hearts will be left behind, unable to fear what is too strange. Nor shall you scare us with talk of the death of the race. How should we dream of this place without us? The sun, mere fire, the leaves untroubled about us, a stone look on the stone's face? Speak of the world's own change. Though we cannot conceive of an undreamt thing, we know to our cost how the dreamt cloud crumbles. The vines are blackened by frost. How the view alters. We could believe, if you told us so, that the white-tailed deer will slip into perfect shade, grown perfectly shy. The lark avoid the reaches of our eye. The jackpine lose its knuckled grip on the cold ledge, and every torrent burn, as Xanthus once, its gliding trout stunned in a twinkling. What should we be without the dolphin's arc, the dove's return, these things in which we have seen ourselves and spoken? Ask us, prophet, how we shall call our natures forth when that live tongue is all dispelled, that glass obscured, or broken, in which we have said the rose of our love and the clean horse of our courage, in which beheld the singing locust of the soul unshelled, and all we mean, or wish to mean. Ask us. Ask us whether with the worldless rose our hearts shall fail us. Come demanding whether there shall be lofty or long standing when the bronze annals of the oak tree close.
That was Kaya Roy from Trek North High School in Bemidji reciting Advice to a Prophet by Richard Wilbur. Before Kaya, you heard Angela Burgess, Rowan Ivy Johnson reciting Anthem for Doomed Youth by Wilfred Owen, Leah Johnson, and Ann Tiernis. I'm Charlie Polkerbeck. Thank you to all of the contestants for taking a few moments to join me and for their extraordinary efforts. The regional contest winners were Ann Tiernis, Rowan Ivory Johnson, and Kaya Roy.